As Pastor Scott already said, in a few moments, we're going to share in the Lord's table together. But I have a thought with you I'd like to share with you as we go into this this new year. As everybody knows, this is the first Sunday in the new year. Kathy, thank you for sharing some of the things that you just did. I hope that what I'm about to say will dovetail very nicely with what we've already heard. Empirical evidence would tell us that all of us like the idea of new. No, really, we do. We like the idea of new. People like to experience new in all sorts of ways. People enjoy getting new cars. People enjoy new clothes. People enjoy new homes, new gadgets, new carpeting. And if you're a guy right now and you're basically saying, I don't like the new stuff, new hunting equipment, new adventures, etc., 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 there's something about new that we like. That does not necessarily mean that everything that's new is brand new. In fact, by definition, new can mean never existing before. Or it can mean has been in existence before, but it's new to me. For example, I can be talking to somebody and they can be talking about a new vehicle that they have, and it may be a brand new vehicle, right? Like fresh off the showroom floor, and you're driving it now, 2 miles on it, 6-7 miles on it, and I'm driving. It's brand new. It was just made. Or I can be talking to that same person and say, I got a new car, but it's got 180,000 miles on it. Because it's been in existence, but it's new to me. We could say the same thing about clothes, right? We can say, you know, I have a new shirt, I got a new tie, whatnot, and it may be brand new. That's how we usually distinguish it. I have a brand new. That means it's never existed before until now that I have it, right? Or we can say I got a new shirt that actually may have come from the thrift store, but it's new to me, right? So we use that this idea of new in a myriad of ways. In fact, yesterday, by the way, I just wanted to say for all of those of you who helped facilitate Faye Klein's memorial service yesterday, celebration service, thank you so much for serving and doing what you did yesterday. It was the family was blessed. That's all I'll say to you. They were very, very blessed. So anyways, Faye was into antiques. And so she would get all excited about this old thing, but it was new to her. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There is something about new we like. We like it. In fact, different studies have been done, different experiments have been done based on this idea of new. And one such one I read about was they had a panel of people who they wanted to demonstrate this computer-generated game with called Don't Starve. It was basically a survival game where people went through a series of exercises where they had to outwit this character on the computer game called Maxwell. And the first, and remember, they were using this to do a study of how we're wired to like things new. And so the first time the people went through it, they said, we're going to use the old technology and the old way that the game works and you know, let us know how you like it. So they ran the people through the game that way. And they said, okay, now we want you to try it with the new technology and see how you like that. And so they ran the people through both things. And to a man, when they got to the end, people said across the board, we like the new version better. The only difference was, it was the same technology. But there was something about new that people like. And as I've been thinking about this, not only in terms of a new year that we're entering into, and it's at the beginning of the month, so it's a new month. As I've been thinking about this, I was reminded that new is nothing new, right? In fact, I found my Tuesday, I think it was Tuesday, my wife came home with some groceries, and she sat this cereal box down in front of me, and she actually got it from my mom, because my mom said, I'm sick of eating, what was it she always eats? Oh, Reese Pieces thing. So try something different. Find something different for you. So she brought this home. She plopped it down on the table. And right here on the box, I noticed the word new. Right? Now, I don't know if Jody's attention specifically was drawn to that. You know, the box may have been on the shelf like this for all I know. But I do know there's a reason why they have this little word on the front of this box. Because they know there is something about this that we're attracted to. And it's been like that for a long time. I want to show you some of these. I want to show you some of these slides I found. Of course, we all know about how they try to sell us on the new latest version. This is clear back. What version are we on now? I'm on no version, right? But what version are you on? 10? Okay, this was iPhone 5, and if you'll see here in the fine print, Apple did it again. We revealed for the first time the new cool features of iPhone 5. Of course, that's old now, right? Like you can find them on eBay for a buck, right? Right? They're old. So we all know how that whole thing kind of cycles and revolves and whatnot. But I found some other ones here. Here's Keebler. I'm on a diet, so I'm not. This is the only way I get any kind of pleasure is by looking at pictures of them. So I found this picture of chocolate chip cookies. Look what it says up in the upper right-hand corner there. New look, same great taste, right? But they know that word new, we like it. We like that word new. Okay, so it's been around this way for a long time. Now, I thought this one was a little bit funny, right? New Diamond Shreddies. This one over here is old and boring, and they turned it. All they did is turn the square like this. So it's not a square, it's a diamond now, right? And it's new and exciting, right? Because they know we like new, right? We really like new. Okay, how about this one right here? This is back in the 50s, right? You think to yourself, well, you know, when did they figure this out? Oh, they figured this out a long time ago, right? So here's this lady, Cheer. Did they even sell, is Cheer still around? Anybody use it? Big fans here. Okay, so we got the lady hanging out her laundry here. We got, notice what's in big letters there. New blue Cheer, right? Because even back then, it goes back far. How about these ones right here? Here's this refrigerator, an old Admiral refrigerator. And they were advertising it in the 50s and 60s. Bright new look in home appliances. Look at the handles on those things, right? That'd kill somebody if it fell off. All right. And then if we want to go, this is the 1800s, right? Back in the old 1800s. I know you can't see the pictures very good. You actually can't see them very good online either. But anyways, here's a lady standing over her scrub bucket there, and she got this thing going on. Or you can get the new steam way of washing your clothes. But look up at the very top. The old, the new, right? The new. How about this one? Something new. A complete electric sewing machine. $35. $35. You go back and you look at these things on images and you find out this word new is one of the ways that people market stuff. Now, I want to kind of look at this through a biblical lens. But I just want to say that come to find out, they've done multiple studies on this, that our brains are actually, the way they work is wired for new experiences. In other words, when we engage with something that's new, there's actually, I don't understand all this, but there's actually chemicals that get released in our brain that give us some pleasure, right? So the idea of new is kind of the way God has wired us. Are you there? It's not like a selfish thing necessarily. It's just the way that God has wired us. And I want to show you this morning that the Bible is very much about advertising new and getting us to think new, right? In the scriptures, in the Old Testament, you can find these examples of new. Places where God gave people a new name. Places where it talks about, the reason they got, do you know why they got a new name? Because God was doing something new. That's why he gave them a new name. There's other places that talk about this idea of new wine, both in the natural and in the spiritual. It gets used as kind of like a metaphor, new wine and oil. Psalms talks about us bringing a new song to the Lord. Proverbs talks about our lives experiencing new growth, like the new growth of a plant or a tree. Scott already referenced it this morning from Lamentations. There's talk of God's mercies being new every morning. And the prophets in the latter part of the Old Testament continually are talking about God giving his people a new heart and a new spirit. I mean, the actual word new, if you go to a concordance, you're going to find it a lot. And then I flipped over to the New Testament, and I found out that Jesus talked a lot about new too. He talked about us having becoming new wineskins, flexible, stretchy, so that we could receive the new thing that God wants to do in our lives, about us having new clothes put on us. Clothes of righteousness, they're new ones, they're not old, dirty ones, but new ones that Jesus wants to clothe us with. Jesus even talked about giving us a new command that we might love one another. And of course, it talks a lot about this idea of having a new birth, which ends in new life. We become a new man or creation, and actually there's talk of a new heaven and a new earth in the New Testament. So this notion of new, it's almost like God knows we're wired to like new. Hello? Like we're wired for that. And so he's like, okay, I made you wired for that. I'm going to give you new, right? You are going to experience new frequently. Now, I want to talk to you about one of the things that was new in the Old Testament, and then we're going to move over and look at the fulfillment of that in the New Testament. I want to talk to you for a moment here about, the Bible ends with this, "Behold, I'm making all things new." I want to talk to you what gets talked about in the Old Testament is the new moon or new moon festival. How many of you happened to notice the big, bright, full moon? I think it was like right around Christmas, wasn't it? And Jody said to me one night, I think as we were getting ready to go to bed, or she was headed upstairs, she said, "Look at it outside. It's like you don't even need, lights." It was big and huge. It was one of those few nights where the clouds weren't out, and you got to see the new moon. Now, in the Bible, a new moon signified the beginning of a new month. In fact, the Hebrew calendar is based upon the moon. Our calendar is based upon the sun. Are you still there? In fact, the word month in Hebrew literally means new moon. Now, here's how this thing worked. They actually appointed people to watch the skies at night. And that the first, you know, a new moon isn't a full moon, right? A new moon is when, because, help me, Mr. Britton, help me if I go awry here. But as I understand how this thing works, it's like you got a full moon, and then the moon starts disappearing again. And then at some point, you don't see a moon, right? And then eventually, a little sliver. Okay, now that's, stop right there. There were people appointed in Israel to watch the skies for the first sliver of light, and they declared it the new moon. They said, we're beginning with a new moon. Now, the first reference we have of that is in Numbers chapter 10, verse 10, where it says, also at your times of rejoicing, your appointed feasts and new moon festivals. Now, why is it called new moon festival? Well, because we get some more information, number 28 of 11. On the first of every month, remember, they're marking their time period, not by the sun, but they're marking it by the moon. And when the moon little sliver of moon shows up, they would actually, these people would pass the word that it was the beginning of a new month, and they would set fires on top of the hills, trumpets would be blown to announce that it was the beginning of a new month. And then here in Numbers 11, or 28, 11, it says, on the first of every month, present to the Lord a burnt offering of 2 young bulls, 1 ram, 7 male lambs a year old, all without defect. So every time they saw the sliver of the new moon and the fires would be built, the announcement would go out, it's the beginning of a new month. The people were expected to do just what this says, to present to the Lord 2 young bulls, 1 ram, 7 male lambs, a year old. And they would, God would see them as their fresh sacrifice to him. Are you with me? Okay, just follow with me here. In this same passage in verses 12 through 14, we are told that besides the animal sacrifices, they were called to bring a grain offering and also a drink offering. In addition to this, in verse 15, to the burnt offerings, a goat was to be sacrificed to the Lord as a sin offering. The new moon festival marked was to be sacrificed to the Lord as a sin offering. New moon festivals marked the consecration. This is pivotal. Every month, when they saw that it was a new month had arrived, a new moon marked a new month. When that had arrived, the idea is that we're starting over again in our personal devotion and consecration to God. In other words, 30 days has passed by. We may have drifted a little bit. We may have gotten out there someplace that we shouldn't have gone. But when the new moon came back around and a little sliver showed up, the announcement was made, okay, guys, it's time for us to come back to the Lord again. And the idea is that God would be doing something fresh. God would be doing something new. And it was marked by this time of bringing not only their offerings, but their lives before God anew. Are you with me? Yeah. So every month, right? Every month. There's 12 of these in a year, right? So every month they would come to this place of supposedly something new, something fresh happening. As time went on, and Scripture tells us that these new moon festivals were not only marked by these sacrifices, the blowing of trumpets, it came that all labor was suspended during this period of time. No trade was able to take place, and it was just a big party. It was a big party where people were bringing themselves to God and their sacrifice to God, and they were starting over again. The whole point of the New Moon Festival was for them to encounter God anew and to have their hearts rendered to Him anew until the next new moon. See, there's something God knows that we like new. Are you there? There's something about that. We, of course, in our culture, we've totally lost sight of all that. We're looking at new dishwashers, right? That's what we're. But in terms of God, in a spiritual sense, He was keeping new in front of us. This new moon, new encounter, fresh encounter with God. He's wanting to keep it in front of them, so much so that He made it so that 12 times a year, you know, we come around to this moment. Now, as with anything in life, new can become old, right? Sometimes very quickly. And the same happened with this new moon festival that God set in place. In their history, Israel continued to observe the new moon festivals outwardly, but inwardly, their hearts had turned cold towards God. Even though there was a new moon starting again, nothing new was happening in them. Yes, they continued to give their bulls and their lambs and their goats, but what they failed to give was their own hearts to God. They relied on the outward observations to cleanse them, even though inside they were cold and distant toward God. This led to God saying, at least on one occasion, stop bringing your meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. Your new moons, your Sabbath, your convocations. Now remember, God's the one who set these in place. But He set them in place so that people would be finding renewal on a regular basis. But what was happening was, is they were going through the religious motions. Hello? The religious motions, but nothing new was happening in their lives. Nothing fresh was happening in their hearts. And so God now comes to this place and is saying, stop. Just stop. Stop paying attention to the sliver of moons. Stop worrying about the Sabbath and all the other convocations. I cannot bear it anymore. Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals, I hate them with all my being. They have become a burden to me and I'm weary of bearing them. Isn't that amazing? What God had thought would or had hoped would transpire and come about had now become just a dead religious observance, but nothing renewing was happening in the hearts of the people. Now, I hope you're with me this morning. I'm glad that we don't have to appoint somebody to sit out and watch the skies at night, especially at nights like we've been having. That would be a cold job. Ain't nobody signing up. Yeah, I think I see a shiver of a moon up there. Appointed to watch. I'm glad we don't have to do that. I'm glad we don't have to bring the bulls and the goats. And I'm just glad. I'm glad for that. I don't like animals that much, right? So I'm glad. Glad we don't have to do that. But do you know, church can become like that. Hello? I often say to myself when I'm in my office, I often say to myself as I'm trying to sense what the Lord would want me to say. I often think to myself, Lord, for some people, will it make any difference what I say? Wow. How many sermons have been prepared? How many services have been had where it didn't make any difference? People came, people left, but there was nothing new. I thought, how often have we come to the Lord's table and gone through this new moon moment? And I think to myself, God, are you up there in heaven saying some of this to modern day Christians today? Stop! Stop your meaningless observances. Because your motions are right, but your heart's somewhere else. I just wonder about such things. I wonder about it for my own life. I say, Lord, please, I never want my heart to ever get to a place where, you know, we're just going through the motions. When Scott and Kathy and others talked about new mercies, new year, I want that to be real. I want that to be dynamic. I want it to be life-changing. Jesus gathered his disciples together for the last time to celebrate the Passover with him. And ironically, at that moment, he talked about something new. He talked about a new covenant, something other than the old one, a covenant that would find its fulfillment in what he was about to do for them and for us. This table is what represents that for Christianity moving forward. A new covenant with a new kingdom, with a new command, a whole new deal. But it can become so old if we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to do something fresh in our hearts and in our lives. I was thinking about, it's actually an alternative definition for the word new. If you go to the dictionary, you'll find it. It means to be made afresh. You know, kind of like the idea when you get a good night's sleep and you wake up in the morning feeling like a new person. Something fresh takes place in your body and in your soul. I'm sharing this with you this morning because I really felt in my soul, in my heart, like, and I really mean this when I say it, I really feel like God wants to do something new in all of our lives. It may not be brand new, but it'll be new to us. It'll be fresh to us. And what my faith was for this morning, what I really felt like God was sharing with me is that this table would be the beginning of that this year. That by us sharing in the emblems of his body and blood, that if we would allow it, God would desire to do something fresh in us. I hope you can hear from this verse that God, all he's wanting is our hearts to work with. If you're here and your heart is cold, it's hard, you're not gonna, Pastor, you aren't gonna move me. You, no matter what you say, it won't matter. Doesn't matter if somebody comes and prays over me till I can't breathe anymore. It won't matter. I'm not budging. Hope that works for you. But that's what God is saying. You know, as I understand it, the whole point of this whole coming from week to week is, sure, it's about our interaction with each other and, hey, what's God doing and speaking and so on and so on. But as I understand it, the primary purpose for us coming is for God to do something fresh. It's the first day of the week. Did you know that? Sunday is the first day of a new week. And the whole idea is for us to come and we bring our hearts to God and say, God, I'm here for you to do something fresh in me. Something new. We like it. We like new. But somehow, in some way, we get comfortable with the old. Old jeans, old shirts. It's like that. Wife is constantly saying, why don't you get rid of that? I won't get rid of that. Right? I was talking to somebody on the way in this morning. Sorry. Just came out of the men's group from downstairs. He said, I don't know if I'm going to like this sharing thing. I'm not a big sharer, you know. I don't like. Said, why don't you try something new? Hello? Try something new. Try something different. Thank God's speaking that to us. Something fresh. This morning, I asked Joe if he would please set communion up so that there were stations. And my hope is, my faith is that as you would, you know, come out of your seats this morning to actually come and receive communion instead of us serving it to you. My faith is for you and for me that in us doing that, in us stepping out of our place of comfort, we would be saying to God, God, I know I've got an old heart here. I got a little stubbornness has set in. But I'm stepping out in faith that you are going to break through that in my life and do something fresh in me. I'm going to ask the worship team if they'll make their way back to the platform. I can just imagine some of you, when God talks about a new heaven and a new earth, you saying to yourself, I don't want a new heaven and a new earth. I like the old one. I don't like all this new stuff. No, I think you're going to like it. The end of the Bible ends, some of the closing verses ends with, behold, I am making all things new. That means all things means us too. When Kathy was saying, she ended whatever she shared there, she ended by saying that at the end of 2018, things would be different. This morning, I'm just asking that you would make your heart available to God, that you would bring it to Him. Maybe I know some of you have gotten discouraged in 2017. This has been a yucky year for you. But you would just, you know, even that sliver, that seed of faith that's still left in you, that you would bring it that heart to God and say, God, I need something fresh. I need something new. Holy Spirit, come and do your work in my heart and life. Lord, we thank you for wiring us for new things, for new life, for new experiences, for fresh new faith. Thank you for wiring us that way. Thank you for making our brains actually like it. Forgive us for being so old and stuck. This morning we're here to enter in again, once again, into your new covenant relationship. Even though it's something you set up 2,000 years ago, it's meant to have a new impact on us every time we come to it. That your body and your blood, Lord, would have its fresh purpose in our hearts and lives. And like John said, you know, we're this morning we're telling you straight up, Lord, we need your forgiveness. And we're asking you, like John said, if we're faithful to acknowledge that, you will be faithful to wash us anew and to make us white like snow. We're here for that this morning. We all know what it feels like when we've had a day or two without a shower. We have that opportunity to get in. You come out and you just feel fresh. Lord, would you wash us in your Spirit and do something fresh and new in each of our hearts and lives here today. Thank you for a new year. Thank you for a new month. Thank you for the beginning of a new week. We avail ourselves to the fresh new winds of your Spirit in our lives. Men, women, children, young and old alike, we render our hearts to you. Not our goats and our calves and our bulls. We simply bring our hearts to you and say, would you make them new this morning? Holy Spirit, please be at work in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Feel free to come forward when you want to. They're going to lead us in a little bit of worship. Make it a special moment. You know, God's plan has always been to bring what we call renewal and revival to hearts. Now, sometimes it's for the first time, like it's brand new, like you may be here today and you've never ever really considered opening up your heart to God. And for you, it's kind of a first time event. But that's not where it ends. It's about us all just continuing to come to Him and letting Him do that which is new and that which is fresh in each of our hearts and lives. God wants to make us into something new. I pray that you will avail yourself to that and not be looking simply to the things of this world to get your pleasure feelings, but that ultimately we would find them in the new and dynamic things that He desires to do in each one of us. Holy Spirit, as we go from this place, I'm asking you to continue to be very real and near to each and every one, Lord. Drawing us to yourself at the beginning of this new week. Help us to walk with you in the newness of life and spirit, Lord, as we bring your resurrection life to bear in the hearts of others we encounter this week. Bless us as we go from this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.